Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect this afternoon. We have a regular guest that is rejoining us this afternoon, our Director of Education, and he is at Calvary Albuquerque, Dr. Brian Nixon. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Jim, as usual, it's great to be with you. Always a pleasure.
Well, we've had a chance to visit just about some general Bible questions.
That's right.
A few weeks ago. Then last time we talked a little bit about Jesus. And the historical person that he is. And, you know, Brian, we're having these discussions because a lot of Christians are confronted by the world.
Yep.
And the world will say that you've lost your brain if you're a person of faith. And the things that you tell us and the things you teach us and the things that Pastor Skip and other pastors around town are teaching is that, you know, our faith is real.
Mm-hmm.
It can be documented externally. It can be documented internally. And you're giving us a lot of valuable information about that. Today we're talking about something about the person of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And this is a little more abstract, if I could use
that
word, than a historical person. So let's get started and go right into it. Who and what is the Holy Spirit?
It's a great question, Jim. And as you already alluded, the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that is least understood. A lot of people, particularly Christians, know who Jesus is. You have a sense of who the Father is. You know, he's the guy that created things. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people tend to get lost. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fully divine. He is God. He's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. So again, this idea of a triunity of Godhead, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not like God the Father and then Jesus is sort of God and the Holy Spirit is even a less God, but sort of. No, they're all co-equal, co-eternal. And the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and the early creeds, the early statements of faith in the church supported this biblical witness as well. So the Holy Spirit is God.
Is there a big difference between, let's say, what denominations believe? Like, do Catholic Christians believe something different than evangelical Christians when it comes to the Holy Spirit?
Nope. We all go back to the early, at least the first three statements of faith, which we call creeds. But all three major denominations or major sectors of Christianity, Protestantism, Roman Catholics, and Eastern Orthodox, all have the same view of Jesus, have the same view with some little alterations of the Holy Spirit, and have a similar view of God the Father. So that's what we would call orthodox belief or biblical belief. It all arose in the early church. When they sat down, when pastors, you know, over 300 pastors throughout the Middle East and Europe got together in Nicaea, they began this process of saying, okay, what do we agree on? What are the essentials of our faith? And they formulated that into those statements of faith, which we call creeds, which you have the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Creed of Constantinople. And these are very important early church documents. So all the major strands of Christianity would adhere to those. Now, when you get to cults, Jim, not so much. Usually one of the defining aspects of a cult is that they do not believe in those early creeds. They've come up with their own statements of faith. So you would have someone like the Jehovah Witnesses, or you would have someone like the Mormons, or you have, and you could just add on to that list, who have a differing view than what we would say are Orthodox Bible believing Christians.
When you start considering differences, the Bible's really clear that a Christian, a believing Christian, somebody who has Christ living in them and the Holy Spirit is present and they believe in God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, we're to honor all men.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't on our little list of questions about the Holy Spirit today, but how do we have those differences and still get along with people that have a differing view?
Well, I think the basic answer is love. I mean, love is, if you will, the overarching law of the Christian. And you may disagree with someone. You may even have very strong opinions against their viewpoint. But we're called to love all people, irregardless of their stance, their political views, or whatever. So love should be our common language among other Christians. And then I would say after the law of love, then you would have to go back to the basic rule of faith, which is the Bible. You know, as we know, in all traditions, be it Protestantism, Roman Catholic, or Eastern Orthodox, they have started to add their own particular opinions or things that are not biblical. So what I would usually say is, okay, let's go back to the earliest documents that we have regarding the Christian faith, and that's the Bible. Mm-hmm. So if we want to know what the earliest writings concerning the Christian faith dealt with, we go to the Bible to find the answers. So again, the law of love is what we should always use with, particularly with other Christians. Christ himself said, you shall know you're my followers by your love for one another. So love needs to dictate it. But then when we have disagreements, we have to go to the earliest manuscripts, which is the Bible, and say, well, what's our best understanding of this? And then when we disagree over an interpretation, we go back to love.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you just have to go back, okay, I don't agree with you on this interpretation of the text, but I'm called to love you. So I'm going to love you, and I've just got to humbly submit to that.
Yeah. Well, I asked that question because I want people not to freak out when they disagree with somebody.
Right.
You know, I've got several friends of mine that are Jehovah's Witnesses. I've got a lot of friends of mine that are Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're close friends. They know I love them. They know that I have a little difference in terms of my faith. But, you know, today what we're really trying to get at is we want people to be able to ask questions and believe that it's okay to do that and to have a conversation about it. So the Holy Spirit that we've brought up today, is this some cosmic force or is this a person we can have a conversation?
Great question, Jim. And really that is one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Holy Spirit. They think it's like an it. You know, the Holy Spirit's it. And you've seen some people in different sectors of Christianity, they like hold the Holy Spirit in their hand and they say, do you want it? Do you want it? And then they throw it at you like if it's some toy to play around with. But as we've already said, no, the Holy Spirit is God. And the second thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. The triune God is manifest as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So though the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in essence and one in will and mind, they are three distinct persons. And I know this is difficult for a lot of Christians and people generally to comprehend. Like, I don't get it, three in one. But we actually can get it to a certain extent. We may not be able to fully comprehend the mystery of the Godhead, but it's not a contradiction. So let me give you an example. A triangle. A triangle is one object, but it has three corners. So it's three objects in one object. Or mathematics, one divided by one divided by one equals one. So there's three unique numbers, one, one, and one, but when they divide against themselves, they are one. So the Trinity is not contradictory. So contrary to particularly people of different faiths, Islam and Judaism, one of their major tenets against Christianity is, well, you believe in three gods. And Christians have to say, no, we don't believe in three gods. We believe three gods are of one essence, of one will, of one being. But they're communicated, if you will, in three persons. And like any person, the Holy Spirit has personal characteristics. As an example, he has intelligence, he has will, he has emotion. The Bible tells us that we could commune with the Holy Spirit. We learn in Genesis that the Holy Spirit strives, that the Holy Spirit works, that he guides. So the Holy Spirit is a person acting in a personal way.
Amen. Brian Nixon with us. He is an associate pastor of Calvary Albuquerque. Want to remind everybody that Star 88, our sister radio station on 88.3 on the FM dial, is our sister station. They're a nonprofit ministry. And they are having a golf tournament. It's going to be held September 21st. And I may have to challenge some of these pastors, Brian, over at Calvary to get involved with this. And I want to appeal to everybody out there. If you're a business person and you can challenge one of your business associates, maybe a competitor, maybe real estate companies. We ought to get real estate companies competing in this tournament against one another. It's all about having some fun, supporting Star 88. The golf tournament is going to be held out at the Santa Ana Golf Club on September 21st, and we need golfers. Mm-hmm. So go into our website at KNKT and find out all the information. We'll be right back with more from Brian Nixon right after these messages.
Is there something missing in your walk with the Lord? Do you ever feel overwhelmed, powerless, riddled with anxiety? Well, you're not alone. According to a recent study, anxiety and depression in the United States are at all-time highs. Yet Scripture tells us not to worry, to trust the Lord, to be filled with joy. Hello, men of Albuquerque. This is Dave Slade. The early church faced incredible challenges, but they rejoiced in their persecutions and troubles because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our source of power, of joy, of fulfillment. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to live a life that pleases the Lord or to fulfill your God-given purpose. Come join this new men's study on the Holy Spirit. We will be studying Pastor Chuck Smith's book, Living Water. The new study begins September 12th. We meet Thursday mornings at 6:30 a.m. at Calvary Albuquerque in the Hub, the building just north of the main sanctuary. That's Thursday, 6:30 a.m., September 12th in the Hub at Calvary Albuquerque. Come join me, Dave Slade, and other men as we learn how to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Jesus is called a lion and a lamb in the Bible. As the lamb, his blood was shed for our sins.
I believe that when you get to heaven, it's very possible that when you see Jesus, even in his glorified state, you're going to see marks of crucifixion on his body.
Ready? Ready. Skip Hytek has good news for you.
You say, oh man, that's going to make me feel bad. No, it's going to make you feel good because Jesus will wear them forever, not as a shame, but as a sign, a badge of honor.
Access Skip's full teaching library at connectwithskip.com. And remember,
and he would gladly wear those and bear those forever as a reminder that what those wounds did is purchase you and bring you into God's kingdom.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig podcast on your mobile device. Finally, wow, the lamb will return as the lion.
In fact, it's those very wounds as a lamb that makes him qualified to come as a lion and rule and reign.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon, Associate Pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque, Director of Education and at Calvary. He is with us today, and he's been with us a few times. We are really talking about, I think, basic questions, Dr. Brian.
Right.
That have to do with just our faith in general, and we want to answer questions, want to give people an opportunity too. If you have a question about the Holy Spirit, call us at 505-338-5790. You may have all kinds of other questions, and if you do, we may ask you to send us an email, but if Holy Spirit question comes up today, please give us a call. I'm going to give away two tickets to the Casting Crowns concert
nice.
The first week of October to anybody, the first caller today that calls in about the Holy Spirit. And then the second caller, I'm going to give away a Hinkle Family Fun Center. They have their 25th anniversary of lots of fun games and things up at the Hinkle Family Fun Center. So the first two callers today are both going to get a prize. Want to make it a little fun.
That's great.
So, Brian, we talk about who is the Holy Spirit and that he is a person. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit?
Another great question, Jim. You know, the role of the Holy Spirit is many. And we could literally spend our whole program talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. We don't have that much time. So I think we could summarize four notable aspects of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, the Holy Spirit is God and was around since the beginning and the foundations of the world. So all of that aside, there's five C's. There's creation. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is part of that. Convicts the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. So in a sense, the Holy Spirit is calling to the world saying, hey, look, there's a God, and more specifically, Jesus. And then Jesus himself said that the Holy Spirit comforts and directs. That's John 14:26. And then Jesus also says that the Holy Spirit is a conduit of truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to truth. And that's John 14:17. And then the final aspect, the fifth C, if you will, is that the Holy Spirit conforms us into the image of Christ. That's Romans 8:26-30. So I think these five major aspects, the Holy Spirit's part of creation, The Holy Spirit convicts, he conforms, he's a conduit of truth, and he comforts us. These are all general summary of what the Holy Spirit's role in the world is. And mind you, the Holy Spirit is always pointing people to Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit, why probably a lot of people get confused and scratch their head and go, I don't get the Holy Spirit, is because he's kind of that silent partner. You know, though he's God, though he's co-equal and co-eternal, he's part of the Trinity, he's kind of the silent guy that's going, you know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So again, one God, but manifests in three persons.
You know, Brian, the second thing you said is that he convicts us of sin.
Yes.
And I want to get people to understand that, you know, the very most important thing that we can believe is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins,
mm-hmm.
and that he's made atonement for us. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some earthly consequences of things that we've done wrong.
Right.
You know, you may have had an addiction that's harmed mm-hmm. your body. You may have had a failed marriage. You may have had a jail term, or you may have had some serious illness because of things that you did that weren't things you should have done.
Right.
But as far as God's perspective, if we acknowledge that sin before him and we say, Lord, we need you to forgive us, that we're washed white as snow.
Yeah.
And, you know, the self-condemnation that people have about their past and the things they regret, God really wants us to let go of those.
That's right.
He?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's interesting, Jim, that you bring that up, because when you look at the role of the Holy Spirit, he's involved with all aspects of that person's, you know, conviction. And you know, people don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. You know, some people go, oh, let me clean myself up before I come to church. No, come dirty, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to clean you up. So the Christian life can be summarized in three overarching areas. Justification, that means the moment you're saved, the moment you go, you know what, I'm a sinner, I need Christ as my Savior, you confess your sins and you invite him into your life. That is what we call justification in theology. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. Paul tells us that he's the seal, he's the stamp that you receive the Holy Spirit at that moment of salvation. And then the second part of the Christian life is what we call sanctification. It's being conformed into the image of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing that work. He's conforming you. He's giving you fruit of the Spirit. He's giving you gifts. And all of this is part of the sanctification process. And then the Holy Spirit is also part of the final aspect of the Christian life, which is glorification. The moment we go to see God face to face. So the Holy Spirit is part of justification, he's part of sanctification, and he's part of glorification. And all of that are just the benefits of turning your life over to Christ.
I see a lot of people who are constantly feeling guilty about things that they did years ago.
Right.
And I know when I meet a person like that, that they haven't really received the forgiveness extended to them. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. He says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading into salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come back to that, the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We're not supposed to be feeling guilty and overwhelmed by that conviction, right?
Well, it all depends. I think some people do feel guilty and overwhelmed by sin, because sin is separation from God. And God has placed a yearning inside the human life to want to know God. And when you're estranged from God, there is a sadness. But I think at the same time, there's a solution. And the solution is turning your life to Christ. And then when you turn to Christ, you know, your old man dies, your old self gone away. Behold, you're a new creation in Christ. And the Holy Spirit, he's calling you to Christ. Maybe someone's listening right now and saying, man, I get this nudging feeling that maybe God's talking to me and he's wanting me to learn more about Jesus. Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you even now, calling you. And then there's that moment where you're going to go, boy, I need to confess my sins and commit my life to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, that's exactly what you need to do. And what you need to do is then ask the Holy, you know, God to come into your life, confess that you're a sinner, say, Lord, I need you, believe that Jesus is Lord, and the Spirit will come into you at that very moment. And as I point out, this is what we call justification. At that moment, you're saved, or what other people would say, born again. And then when, with the Spirit's help, he will embolden you and conform you into the image of Christ.
So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how we receive the Holy Spirit with Dr. Brian Nixon. I hope you'll stay with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system ready? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. In the car care cleaning arena, Flex Service means one-stop everything. From express washing with courtesy vacuuming to our legacy full service and express and high-end detailing. We simply do it all at one stop, and we're the locals that have been doing it right for 46 years. We invite you to come and wash with us on the west side at our new Car Spa Flex West at 5401 Sevilla and Coors, across from Ginger's. See what you've been missing. Your car will be glad you did.
People at Monroe's have been asking me, is your grandpa still washing dishes? And I say no. I promoted him to the parking lot.
Hey, Bill, can I come in for a parking lot?
Not yet, Grandpa. We're still busy inside. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the catering. We cater to weddings, graduations, and at-home parties.
Wait a minute. You're too young to be talking about weddings.
Not my wedding. Anyone's wedding. If you want a no-hassle party where we do the work, call into Monroe's today. We cater to you. Your place or ours.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with me this afternoon, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Just trying to answer basic questions. We want to encourage people as you're considering your own faith and you have doubts or you have questions. God wants to engage you in those. He wants you to solidify the answers in your own mind. He wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get more to that direction in a minute. But Brian, before I ask you a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, I want you to tell us about how big God is. I mean, there's these concepts like omniscience and omnipresence. Tell us how big is God?
Well, God's very big. You know, he's to use technical terms, he's the necessary being. He has always been. He is the being that is required for existence to be. So God is very big. I mean, so big. Again, we could never comprehend God. And here's one of the things. Even when we're in heaven with God, we will never understand the totality of who God is. We will spend all eternity unpacking his greatness. That's how big God is. I mean, it will take all eternity, forever. I mean, eternity is a long time. It will take all eternity to understand the greatness of God. That's how big he is.
In a really small way, I was always fascinated with going to the edge of the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Because when you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and looking out at it, it's like this massive postcard, and it doesn't move.
Right.
It's huge. But when you think about flying over it, have you ever been on an airplane where they say, out the left side, you will see the Grand Canyon, and all it is literally a speck, and you're only traveling at 31,000 feet.
Right, right.
And the Grand Canyon is minuscule.
Right.
And so when you think about God and his overview of the universe, not just Earth, I mean, it's awesome that he knows every hair on your head.
Yeah.
How many hairs do you have left?
Yeah.
And keeping track of that for some of us is a little hard because we're losing hair.
Exactly. And that's why you say, you know, how big is God? God is unfathomably big. But one of the beautiful things, which the Holy Spirit attests to, God is personal. Mm. So though he's grand and big and beyond comprehension, He's also personal. So, you know, you brought up the idea of omnipresent. That just means God is present everywhere. There isn't a place in the universe that God is not or not capable of being present. So God is all present.
So right now there might be a talk radio show in Beijing.
Right.
Or one in New Delhi.
Right.
Or you name the
Sydney,
place on
Sydney, Australia.
The
right.
There you go. And God is with all of us at the same time.
That's exactly right. He's omni. He's all present. Always present. So that's omnipresent. Omniscient is God is all knowing. There isn't a thing that God doesn't know. Now, that doesn't mean that he has experienced it. Just because he knows something, don't equate it with experiencing it. God has never experienced on a personal level evil. God, there are certain things that God can't do, and which is really foreign for people. They go, what, God could do anything. He's God. Yes, he is God, but because of the nature of his character, there are certain things that God can't do.
So he cannot lie.
He can't lie. That's against who he is. God can't lie to us because God is pure good and goodness cannot lie. So omniscient means he's all knowing. Another omni is he's omnibenevolent, which means he's all loving. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that means God consistently loves his creation. And God's love, think of it kind of like the sun ray. This is, again, just an analogy. It falls short over it. But just to give our listeners something to grab a hold of, it's like the sun. There's nowhere on planet Earth that you could get away from the sun ray. You can't. You know, you could go underground, but they're still there. They're still penetrating. Why? Because of the radiation and so on and so forth. You may try to hide from them. You may try to get out of there. But God's love is consistently loving towards. Now, we don't always return that love, and but God is omnibenevolent. And there are different omnis. But again, to your question, the Holy Spirit, because he is God, he is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is omnibenevolent. He's everywhere present. He's all-knowing. He's all-loving. Because the Holy Spirit is God, all these attributes of God apply to the Holy Spirit.
Do we have to do something special to receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, yes. I mean, in a very specific sense, yes. I mean, you have to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have to say, you know, I'm a sinner. Again, that's the calling part. The Holy Spirit calling and saying, hey, I'm here. You have to open up your life to Christ, and then the Holy Spirit at that moment will come in. And, you know, before the station break, you said, you know, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? You simply ask. You go, God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I'm in need of a Savior. I can't do this myself. I need you to come into my life and save me.
Are there 10 rules I have to follow before
nope.
I can do that?
No. There's if the Bible says you just believe that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. So it's that simple. You believe. You just go, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to come into me. And at that nanosecond, the Holy Spirit enters your life and you become a child of God.
Do you have to go forward in church
nope.
and make a public confession?
No, you don't have to. You know, there's many people. I mean, coming forward in church is a public confession. It's a way. It's a step of boldness. It's a step of empowerment and witness of saying, hey, I'm making a public stand for Christ. Baptism is that as well. Other churches may not do an altar call, but they do baptism. They serve similar functions. It's an outward appearance of what God has done inward. So, but you don't have to go forward. The Bible does say that you, as an act of obedience, should be baptized. So unlike going forward at a church service, it's not a necessary thing. Some people have been saved watching Billy Graham on television. Pastor Skip himself, that's how he became a Christian. He was watching Billy Graham on TV. Other people in the quietness of their own home. Some people laying down on their bed at night. They just came to that point of saying, I need you, Lord. And they invite him in. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes into you.
What is a person's relationship to the Holy Spirit? How do you interact with the Holy
Spirit? Yeah, we've alluded to this already, but it's really good for our listeners to know three specific prepositions used. The Bible uses three words to describe our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first is with. We're with the Holy Spirit, again, because he's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at once. He's with us in a general sense. And he's calling us, he's prodding us, he's leading us. He's, if you will, the hound of heaven saying, you need Christ, you need Christ. He's convicting and convincing us of that need. He's letting you know, like, you know, you're not perfect like you think you are. You know, you do fall short at times. And you need a loving God. So he's with us. And then the Bible uses the word in, I-N. He's in us. So the moment we realize, like, wow, I'm going to respond to his calling, his convicting, that's the moment he saves us. And I pointed out earlier, that's what we call justification. He saves us. We become a child of God. So he's with us, he's in us, and then the third preposition that's used in the Bible in relationship to the Holy Spirit is upon us. And this upon us is where the Holy Spirit, once he's in us, he starts to work things out, getting rid of the junk, trying to, you know, work with your will to conform us into the image of Christ. He's empowering us to be Christ-like, to be a witness for Christ in this world.
We're going to come back with more from Dr. Brian Nixon all about the Holy Spirit this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and he does, but he also maintains those who belong to him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA Approved, and free towing with repairs. Just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and he is only a breath away. Please call out to him.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
Hi, folks. Dirk Bentley here. Being on the go is a big part of my life. I love seeing new places, meeting new people, and performing all over the world. For energy on the go, for me, it's 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, works long, and it tastes good. With zero sugar and 4 calories. Try it. It could work for your on-the-go life, too. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Nixon in studio with me this afternoon. He is an associate pastor of Calvary Albuquerque. Brian, you got a lot on your plate. You're director of education. You're helping to write books for Pastor Skip and
yep.
working on your own stuff.
Yep.
Tell me about your day typically.
Well, my day, I get here to work between 6:15 and 6:30 each morning. I set the school up, kind of get the classrooms ready, and then I go to my office and I usually start the publishing thing, looking over texts and books and other things. And then, as you pointed out, in my spare time, I'm working on my own book. And so I do have my plate full. And that's, you know, of course, keeping first things first, you know, your faith and your relationship to the Lord and then your family. And I've got 3 great kids and a beautiful wife. So
that's a good segue into what I was going to say. So today for me, I got 20 emails to return. I got 1 radio show to go through. I've got 4 ad proposals to put together and about 10 text messages I have to return. So when is there time to listen to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think for the Christian, again, the person that the Holy Spirit resides in and he's coming upon you, one of the things that we need to do, Jim, is learn how to walk in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in a few places in Scripture, he gives us that charge, that challenge. He says, walk in the Spirit. Well, the Greek word for walk is peripateo. It means to tread with or be preoccupied with. So to walk with the Spirit is to be open for the Spirit's guidance and sensitivity to his leading. So in the busyness of our day, we have to stop and pray, Lord, give me insight. Teach me what to do. And we have to have a sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your day. Because as we know, we get so busy that we go, well, Lord, here's what I'm going to do, blah, 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 and you have it all planned out. But the Lord may be going, no, I want something else. First of all, I want you to spend some time with me, and then I want you to talk to this person over here, and I want you to comfort that person over here. So I think walking in the Spirit is being sensitive to his leading, and then allowing the Spirit to conform us into the image of Christ, that we are always being Christ-like in our, you know, actions and reactions to people.
You know, I've been criticized personally for trying to do too many things at one time. So I'll be having a conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden, maybe another person or some other message comes to me, and somehow I get diverted, and mm-hmm. I'm no longer listening to what they're saying. It's kind of hard to do that. It's hard for me to, for example, go to a gathering, a dinner party or something, because you're talking with five different people right at the same time. And I'm not very good at getting five or six different conversations going.
Right.
I'm real good at, when I do focus, at listening to someone and really appreciating what they have to say. But I've developed some bad habits of not listening and not focusing. And that's got to even be more important when it comes to communicating with God.
Exactly. And Jim, you nailed it. I mean, we do become distracted. There's a tyranny of the urgent, as that little booklet about how to use your time wisely states. But even more so, there's a tyranny of the urgent with God. There's always, with many people, so many other things to do other than spend time with God. Well, I don't see God. And he's going to love me regardless of whatever. And true, it is good. He's going to love you. But his love is such, like anyone, he wants a response. I mean, I love my wife, but if I just theoretically said, oh, I love my wife, but I never saw her, I never talked to her, I never did anything, you would have to go, do you really love your wife? I mean, you haven't seen her for 40 years. You know, you don't talk to her. You don't do these things. No, love is a response. There's a theological term that theologians have used throughout the years. It's called parakeisis. And parakeisis is a fancy Greek word that means a mutual exchange of love. And this mutual exchange of love is found within the Godhead of the Trinity. It's love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's also the same love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit yearn for their children. It's a community, if you will, of love, of loving and loving back. And that is really at the heart of what our relationship is. It's a loving relationship where God gives and we, as, you know, loving children, want to give back to God. So we do have to separate time to walk with the Spirit, to be tentative, to be sensitive. And that is through prayer, through Bible reading, through communion, and even evangelism. All those things in Acts 2, where Luke, who wrote Acts, kind of says what the early church did. They were into Bible study, the apostles' doctrine, as we said. They were praying with one another. They were partaking of communion. They were fellowshipping, and they were telling others about Christ. So that is part of the community of what we're doing. So there's different ways people can hear from the Lord.
I hope I can verbalize this question. It's not on our list, but I wanted to, I'm prompted maybe by the Holy Spirit to ask you this. So, when we're in the midst of troubles, a lot of counselors will tell you, you know what you really need to do is focus on serving other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to see God working in your own life and working through you to bless other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow your problems are reduced and you start to see your way through them. But I want to know, in the midst of all of this, if we love God back in the midst of our troubles, is he blessed by us?
Oh, I think so. I think the Bible clearly shows that as well. I mean, you know, God, if you will, revels. He enjoys in the praises of his people. He loves when his children do things for His glory, just like our very own children. You know, I'm the proud dad of three kids. And, you know, when my son got his master's degree in a science and I, you know, saw him walk across stage, I was a proud papa. Why? Because he's using his brain, which I know is a big brain. He's using it for good things and it makes me feel good. And then when he goes, thanks, dad, you know, it's one of those things that make me feel good. Well, think about God when we go and say, you know, I'm using my brain or I'm thankful for the house or the car or my life. And you just go, hey, thanks, dad. It's one of the beautiful things I think that blesses God's heart. You know, one of the unique aspects of the Christian faith, particularly with Jesus, is that there was always the notion of the fatherhood of God, but Jesus personalized that relationship and he said, no, it's not just Father, the Creator, but he's Daddy. And so I think that when we do something and we turn around and thank God for it, where it's like thanking your dad. It's a beautiful sentiment.
Awesome. We're going to be back with more from Dr. Brian Nixon right after these messages. We're going to be back and talk about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Well, I might be missing out on my cue to go away. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
Call 1-800-358-6740.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that research shows that radio is still one of the most popular mass media channels? It's true. Over 90% of Americans listen to radio each week. Radio is personal, portable, and Christian audiences are passionate about our message. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com and I'll show you that KNKT means business.
What if? What if your church could unlock its mission potential? Imagine your small groups on fire for reaching the unreached. How would it be if your teens were totally stoked to take international outreach trips? It can happen. And 1615 invites you to the Mobilized Church 2-day workshop.
I believe that how we understand missions and subsequently missionary are fundamental issues that have unbelievably significant consequences in life and eternity.
The Mobilized Church, led by missions leaders Matt Ellison, Jeff Jackson, and Danny Spitters. For 2 decades, Matt and his team have coached countless churches and helped them move from lukewarm missions to effective and fruitful global engagement.
Why missions? Because God's heart beats for the nations.
The Mobilized Church, coming to Desert Springs Church in Albuquerque, September 30th and October 1st. Featuring music by Fernando Ortega. Sign up at 1615.org/TMC. That's 1615.org/TMC.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, I have to apologize to everybody for missing my cues, but you got to live with it. I appreciate you being here with us on ABQ Connect, and we have a special guest, Brian Nixon, in studio. Brian has been on the program several times talking about Bible questions just in general, talking about the historical Jesus, talking now about the Holy Spirit today. We're going to talk in future programs about prayer. We're going to talk about gifts of the Spirit. And Brian, there's a little controversy because we're going to kind of go over the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit right now.
Yeah. And that is one of the benefits, if you will, Jim, of the Holy Spirit residing in you. He gives you certain things. And one of those are gifts. And the difference between gifts and fruits are important for Christians to know. Gifts are supernatural gifts or enablements given to the Christian to aid other Christians. There are things that are given to each individual Christian. Fruit, on the other hand, are the natural fruit from walking in the Spirit. What we just talked about at last segment, walking in the Spirit. These are the things that the Spirit, as He's conforming you and cleaning you up of the old man and working the new person in you, these are the things, the character that's affecting our conduct. So the fruit of the Spirit are produced by the Spirit in the life of every believer. Everyone should be having the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, loving kindness. These are the things this Holy Spirit is working on in your life. Whereas the gifts are distributed by distributed by the Spirit to each person as the Spirit determines. So not everyone's going to have all the gifts, which is interesting to know. So, some people go, well, I want all the gifts. Well, that's the Holy Spirit to determine what gifts you're going to have, and he will give them as he sees fit. So most people don't have them all, but we at least usually have one gift there. And all of these obviously are given for the glory of God. God wants to grow you, conform you into the image of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's doing that with the fruit of your conduct. But God's going to be glorified also with the gifts of the Spirit, using these gifts for the edification and enablement of the body.
Well, let's say that you've been blessed to have three children, as you have.
I have, yeah.
And you're raising your kids, and everything's going great with your wife and your children, and then all of a sudden Brian Nixon goes off the handle and yells at somebody and does some things that Christ wouldn't do. Has that blown all the work that you've accomplished up to that point?
No, because the Bible is also clear that we're not free from sin. You know, just because we become Christians, sin is still part of our old nature. You know, the Holy Spirit is cleaning us up. He's working us. He hasn't made us, you know, complete yet. Again, going back to He saved us, justification. He's sanctifying us. He's cleaning us up. He's making us more like Christ. But one day we'll be glorified. We'll be with Christ, and that's where we'll be fully cleaned up. But it's in this process of sanctification that I will fall. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, Brian, you fell. You blew it. He's going to still convict me. He's going to say, you need to go to that person and say sorry. And like, yeah, you're right. Hey, I'm sorry I did this to you. I mean, I was just not thinking, and so on and so forth. So the Holy Spirit is still part of that process in the life of the Christian.
Brian, what if right now you're listening to this program and you've stolen some money, or you've lied at your job, or you have lost your temper, or are any of these things things that you need to be overwhelmed by guilt by, or will Christ wipe those things clean if you acknowledge that sin before
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. The first step is to acknowledge, to admit that it's sin. And the second step is, so far as you can, you go back and you make it right.
Yeah.
You know, if you've harmed someone or did wrong to someone, you go back and say, hey, I blew it. I'm a human being. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to do, and you fill in the blank, whatever you did. If you lied to someone, you apologize. If you hit someone, you apologize, and then you turn from it. So you confess first to God, and then you go to that person to show them that there's a sincerity, you know, in your approach. I think that's an important facet of that, you know, healing process, if you will. And the Holy Spirit, again, is part of that whole process.
So what are some of the gifts of the Spirit? How are they manifest?
Yeah, there's many gifts. And Jim, as you and I know, we don't have much time left. So I asked you beforehand if I could highlight a book. And I recommend a book called Living Water. It's called The Power of the Holy Spirit in Your Life. It's by Chuck Smith, my former colleague. Now, of course, is Pastor Skip. But in Chuck's book, in part three, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And he really begins to unpack how these gifts are used. So because we don't have a lot of time, I can't unpack them like Chuck would. I want to bring people's attention to this, and this book is found in Parchment, so you could go online and get it.
Sure.
But some of the gifts of the Spirit are mercy. They're prophecy. There's the gift of tongues.
What's a mercy gift?
A compassion. You know, the Holy Spirit enables you to be a compassionate person. You have empathy. You can put yourself in someone else's shoes and walk with them. Another gift is a gift of service. This is like, you see a need and you're the first, you know, person there. There's chairs to be set up. You're setting it up. There's someone to be ministered to. You're there. That's the gift of service. Some of the other gifts are gifts of prophecy. And in the modern context is, this would be someone who would proclaim the words of God towards someone else. So if you have the gift of prophecy, someone comes to you and you all of a sudden say, well, I've got a scripture for you. And you can just give them that scripture, telling them God's truth. That's akin to a gift of prophecy. And then there's some controversial gifts, as you know, Jim, and that's the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues is a gift whereby you speak in a prayer language, and only a language that God or an interpreter can decipher. And Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians 12 that if you have the gift of tongues, there needs to be an interpreter, particularly if done in an open setting. Now, in the privacy of your own home, that's between you and the Lord. But Paul goes out of his way to say that not everyone has all of the gifts. That includes the gift of tongues. Now, as you and I know, Jim, in some sectors of Christianity, particularly in Protestant Christianity, there's some Christians that teach that you have to have the gift of tongues. It's one of the evidence that you are a Christian. And though I could say I applaud that person for really trying to understand the gifts, I would have to say I would disagree with that standpoint because that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul says, hey, I wish you all had tongues, but he didn't say you will all have tongues. He just said, I wish you would all have tongues. But then what does Paul go to at the end of 1 Corinthians? The one gift, the one thing that we all should have as Christians, and it goes back to what we started the program with, which is love. And then you get to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul goes, bends over backwards to say, this is the one fruit. This is the one gifting of God that everyone should have, and it's love. So though not all of us will have the gift of mercy, the gift of compassion, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit will give as he sees fit, all of us should have love.
We're going to come back and talk with Dr. Brian Nixon, Associate Pastor of Calvary of Albuquerque, right after these messages. In our final segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about tongues, and we're going to talk about the gifts overall and whether they're all present today and active. So we'll be right back with Brian Nixon right after these messages.
Hello, friends. My name is Brian Allard. I'm the president of America Praise and New Mexico Praise. I want to invite you and your family to join us at the Albuquerque Convention Center on Saturday, November 2nd at 10 a.m. for a convoy of hope. We would love to partner with you to bless our community with over $1 million worth of goods and services, including free groceries, shoes for kids, haircuts, family portraits, and lunch from Chick-fil-A. No ID required. Visit convoy.org/Albuquerque.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Our final segment this afternoon. Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect. Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with me. And Brian, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I want you to tell us what you think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and whether they're all available for us today.
Yeah, we had mentioned the top of the last segment that there are some controversial elements regarding the Holy Spirit. One, of course, was tongues, which we barely touched on. But this is the other one, Jim. Because in the body of Christ today, there are those who believe that the gifts ended at the end of the apostolic age or the beginning of the formation of the Bible. The reasoning goes something like, we now have the Bible. We no longer need the spiritual gifts. Those were something that the Lord gave the early church, but now we have the Bible, so we don't need them. That position is what's called cessationism, meaning they believe the gifts have ceased. Other people would say, no. We still need the gifts. The gifts, the Bible never said the gifts ceased. They are continually asked. And that is a position called continuationism or the perpetuous spiritual gifts. So the people who believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts say the gifts are active and present in the world today. And I personally, now this is me, I believe, Jim, that the gifts are active and present today. But we need to balance those gifts biblically. There are a lot of groups out there that do not have a balanced view of the Holy Spirit. And I would recommend our listeners to another resource recently published. It's a republish by Pastor Chuck Smith. The book is called Power. And it's a look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit And it has an introduction by our very own Pastor Skip Heitzig. So Pastor Skip wrote the introduction, and then Pastor Chuck Smith wrote it. And this is talking about developing a biblical balance in relationship to the Holy Spirit. Because let's be honest, a lot of people can get kind of weird when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You see a lot of things that are not biblical. And so I think, as we said at the top of the hour, Jim, we need to come back and say, sure, we let love rule, but we always have to go back to the earliest documents we have, which is the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about this topic? And very important for us to go to the Bible when talking about the work of the Holy Spirit.
Brian, when I think about my own faith, I think back to the Hebrews wandering in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I saw a pillar of fire that was leading us by night, and a cloud that was just staying over us, and then all of a sudden there was manna from heaven, I would think that I'd become a pretty faithful guy and understand that God was in charge. But the story indicates that that's not what happened.
Yeah.
And so I always worry about, gee, I want to see God move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a good friend here in New Mexico. He's since moved down to Portales, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But he was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, another gentleman was diagnosed. And we prayed. One of the gentlemen would not receive prayer. He became very bitter. The other gentleman I'm talking about, who is still alive today, we prayed over him. He adjusted his diet. He felt like God had led him to receive prayer and receive healing and to do things health-wise from his diet. And he's as healthy as he ever was today.
Mm.
The other gentleman became embittered and unfortunately passed away in a very short amount of time. But I believe that I've seen God actually physically heal somebody.
Right, exactly. And part of my rationale for believing in the perpetuous spiritual gifts, that they're here present, is personal interaction with them, but also practical reading of the scripture. So I read the scripture, and because the Bible doesn't say these ceased, but they're alluded to as being still active and present for the church moving forward, you would have to say, well, why would the Holy Spirit stop working? Because again, all of these are work of the Holy Spirit. It's not like the Holy Spirit said, oh, did my job, I'm just going to go rest now. No, he's still active. He's still present. And I personally have also experienced, you know, my wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and I saw the Lord do an amazing thing. So not only do I look at the practical elements of what the Bible's teaching, but I have personal experience. That's why I believe in what's called continuationism, that I believe that the gifts are continuing. But as we understand them, we have to understand them biblically.
Is the gift of tongues really the only one that's a sign that you've received the Holy Spirit?
No, absolutely. And that's where we would have to disagree again with some of our friends out there, that the gift of tongues is not the only gift that you've received the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul bends over backwards again to make a point that all of these gifts are needed, and God will distribute to each as he sees fit. So we need the gift of compassion. We need the gift of service. We need the gift of prophecy. We need the gifts of all of these things. The gifts of tongues is just one aspect of it, and not every Christian is given that gift. I know some amazing Christians, born again, Bible believing, love the Lord, even believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts, meaning the gifts are for today, that do not have the gift of tongues. They ask for it. Lord, I'm here, do what you will. They've never received it. But that's just a work of the Lord. The Lord is the one that's distributing the gift. Again, go back to our distinguishing between the gifts and the fruit. Everyone should seek the fruit of the Spirit. Everyone has the potentiality to have love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, all of those. Every Christian should have those. But not every Christian has all of the gifts. They are imparted to the Lord as the Lord sees fit.
Dr. Brian Nixon, Pastor Calvary of Albuquerque, and Brian, again, never enough time for us to talk all about this. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about God and him as the person. Thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
You Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.